Now, as promised, we're on the line with a living legend of U.S. soccer and someone who I've watched growing up, seen play live, someone who's inspired countless of Americans across the country now. Now he's continuing his work with a beautiful game and looking better than ever in a different uniform as an analyst for Fox Soccer. He joins us for the first time this year. Brian McBride, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rocco. Well, that was quite an entrance. Thank you.
I tried.
That introduction.
You definitely deserve it, my man. Now, word on the street, Brian, is that you'll be hanging out with the fans on Saturday, shaking hands, kissing babies, even signing some autographs before the match. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Allstate and where we can find you on Saturday?
Sure, definitely. Well, two things I'm doing with Allstate. Getting the opportunity, of course, as you talked about, getting a chance to meet the fans and everybody who comes out to the StubHub Center tomorrow from 12 to 1:30. Yes, there'll be plenty of opportunities to take pictures and sign autographs. And then secondly, later today, we're doing something where we get a chance to reach out to some local youth soccer players that really haven't had necessarily some of the opportunities other players have had, whether it's financial costs or different areas of reasons that they haven't had a chance to grow. And we get to go out and spend some time with them, kick the ball around, talk about soccer, and end up giving some new equipment and a few other things. So it's a fun day and a special day.
That's awesome. It's not the only time that you've essentially given your time, and there's been plenty of times where you've also given your money to various kind of organizations and nonprofits like that. Again, just an incredible example for the current American fans and players to kind of look up to. Again, cannot say enough good things about you, Brian. You've been to 3 World Cups yourself, Brian. What do you make of the way that Jurgen Klinsmann has been prepping this U.S. side ahead of this summer's tournament in Brazil?
I like it. I think the word coming out has been the same throughout. It's always been about being professional and getting better each day. And, mm-hmm. He's shown that not only when he was a player, but he's putting it forth to the players themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at the growth of U.S. soccer, and people might think, okay, you know what, we had a great Hex, but U.S. soccer itself has been growing consistently year by year. I think Jurgen's come in and really tried to make sure the inner circle grew. And what I mean by that is just having all the amenities possible to allow the players to improve, whether that's psychological, whether that's physical, and their food intake, their ability to recover. Those things now are becoming first class, I mean, world class. And, that just allows us to continue to grow. You add in the fact that, he's basically streamlined U.S. soccer in the sense that all the teams are have a style or have a way they want to play. Mm-hmm. And growing up, we didn't have that. You know, you go from one youth national team to the next, and, you know, each coach had a different thought process and a different way of playing. And I think in the long run, it's going to help us. In the short term, the prep's been great. I love the fact that we went down to Brazil. We get a chance to really see it. We did it in 2002 and went to Korea to play against Korea in December, albeit it was a short period. But you just get used to everything, the flights, the food, and now the real stuff starts tomorrow.
You kind of mentioned that. You know, he took a whole bunch of players, some of which won't even be making this summer's World Cup squad, down to Brazil already to kind of go through that. Is that helpful, or is that almost kind of, you know, baiting these players and showing them what they, you know, is it giving them a goal to reach when he does this to players who probably won't be making this summer's World Cup squad?
No, exactly. I think it's about presenting a little bit of a carrot to try and get some of the players that, you know, and you never know. I mean, it's not, I don't think that you take these players with the knowing that they're not going to be able to make it. Mm-hmm. There's always a possibility that someone surprises you. But yes, I think for most part, it's about the experience and getting players that aren't necessarily going to be a part of the World Cup team, but now have the feel of what it should be like.
Right.
If you do improve, say you have something clicks and you make that step in the next 4 months and you get called in and there's injuries, there's other things that could happen. These players now will understand, what they're getting themselves into and what to expect. And that goes a long way, let me tell you.
Sure. Landon Donovan has come out and as somebody who has tried to take that mantle of Captain America, after you've left, he's come out and said that the competition for places is tougher than ever. He said back in the day, there was a guaranteed 20 guys who were pretty much guaranteed spots on the roster. And then that left a couple other, open spots for random players to kind of make a scene. How far has U.S. soccer grown since your days with the team? And has there really been a rise in competitiveness for positions? Or is there just more players playing at a high level? Or what do you make of that?
I think there's definitely more competition. I wouldn't say the number is as high as 20 that were guaranteed to be a part of the World Cup team, that's for sure. But Landon's definitely right, in my opinion, as far as the competition of not only making the team, but, starting side of it. I think everybody probably has a good idea of what the spine of the team looks like. I'm sure there's some interchangeable parts in there too, but I think that the competition side of it is because MLS has been growing. Players that back in the day when I was going through high school and going into high school, there was plenty of great athletes that played soccer, but there wasn't the opportunity to see it through and say, hey, that could be my dream. I could play professional soccer. That was more of if there was a guy who was good at basketball but also was good at soccer, they'd more often than not choose basketball because that was their dream, to be able to play professional sports. But now we have MLS, now that we have players going over to Europe, all that just opens up the player pool. And so we're getting better athletes sticking around, and I think coaching is getting better, and that just has been equaling out to bringing more quality players through. So it's all positive, I think, for the U.S. soccer side.
Sure. Now, we've obviously drawn an incredibly tough group for this summer's World Cup, but call me crazy. I'm very, very hopeful about this, particularly because I feel like we're pretty familiar with these teams and these nations that we'll be playing against. Germany, somebody, obviously you're very familiar with Germany, Portugal. Last World Cup, we got knocked out to Ghana. What should we expect from this U.S. team in this summer's World Cup? And should we expect them to get to the next round?
Well, you always want expectations. So I think as a player, you're going to go in, expecting to really push yourself to get to the next round. But, it's going to be very difficult. But to me, it all comes down to the first game against Ghana. And it's not just because they've been the team that knocked us out of the past World Cups. It's because it's the first game. And, you go back to when we succeeded and when we did well in World Cups, and that first game we've always done well. We've always won. The ones that we didn't, you look at 98, you look at 2006, and in 2006, and we didn't even come out and play. It basically were in a shell the whole time, and nobody really wanted the ball, and just wasn't us. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we were able to come out of it, but just too late. And that first game set you up for success or failures, and when we failed, it's been because that first game we haven't done well. So I'm hinging it all on that first game. A lot of pressure there, I guess.
Sure. I got two more quick ones for you. After being beaten by Mexico 4-0 at the Alamo Dome, what sort of test is South Korea going to present to us this weekend?
Well, I think it's going to be a test. The one thing you always know with a South Korean team is they're going to be fit, they're going to be technically good, and they're going to work together as a group. And I think for us as a national team, now that we've been together for a long period, we should hopefully have some good continuity. I'm sure Jurgen has a good feel of what players fit where, and I'm excited to see. I think anytime you get a group of guys that haven't necessarily played a ton together in competitive games, you never know what to expect. So I definitely don't see it as being a walkover, even though Mexico beat Korea 4-0.
And finally, especially considering what you've done for U.S. soccer in going abroad and being an ambassador for U.S. soccer abroad, being our Captain America for Fulham for so long, a lot of big American names are returning to Major League Soccer. See Eddie Johnson, Michael Bradley, Maurice Adu this season. What's your opinion on some of these top American players coming back to play in MLS?
Yeah, listen, I think it's a good thing. I know that a lot of people don't. And I say it's a good thing for this reason, because for the most part, most of these players have gone over there and succeeded. Mm-hmm. And they've been over long enough to learn new things, to learn different techniques, different training styles, understanding, you know, what it is to be a professional outside of your comfort zone. And what it does now with these players coming back is they have those ideas, and now they get to bring them to the young players in MLS, and hopefully that transition will help continue to grow the sport and might even make it grow faster and make our players better, because it's such an influx this year. It's not just one or two. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to have a huge positive effect. Now it's up to the players to continue to push themselves, and I think that's, you know, the good thing with the guys coming back. I mean, I can guarantee you Michael Bradley is not going to be sitting on the side of the field right before practice going, I don't know if I really want to train today.
Sure.
You know, he's always going to be someone that not only pushes himself, but pushes his teammates. And for that matter, I think it's a good thing. And you'd love to see MLS on a personal side for me, at least, you love to see MLS really step up and say, hey, we need to take care of our guys too. And I'm excited about it.
Brian, thank you so much for making the time for us today. Look forward to seeing you personally on Saturday. And anybody else who has the opportunity or will be going down to catch the match, go early. Pay your respects to the legend that is Brian McBride. And again, thank you so much, Brian, for making the time for us today on World Football Daily.
Thank you very much, Rafael. And, look forward to seeing you.
Take care. Again, that's Brian McBride. To me, a living legend, somebody who I hold dear to my heart. You know, I practically have a picture framed that I kiss every other day, you know, and pay my respects to in the great pantheons of U.S. soccer, if you will. I know I'm getting a little bit overzealous and whatnot, and I'm sorry. I'm sure Juice probably would have handled that interview a little bit better, but I'm too much of a fan personally. Getting to see him, you know, is always a big thing. And there's so many questions that I really wanted to ask him. I understand what he's saying about MLS and U.S. soccer. I think because I'm such a fan, I do wish that there were still players playing abroad and showcasing our exports and talent and skills and our style of play. But I definitely see his point, and I understand that completely. I do hope, and I do agree that in general, it'll probably raise the play of a lot of the American players here. Like you said, I highly, highly doubt that Michael Bradley is going to take any time off. He's a very driven person, very driven player, and you got to think that he probably has something to prove this season to make sure that people know that his game's not going to slip and that he's still a world-class player. So again, Brian, thank you so much for coming on to the show. And for those people who do get a chance, check him out. Go say hi. Shake his hand. Get an autograph. I mean, seriously, why wouldn't you? He's a living legend.